Welcome back, and before we start our conversations today, we start as we usually do with our day in history on this day, December the 6th. In 1865, the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution was ratified, finally banning slavery in the United States of America. Later on in this program, we'll be discussing that in an interesting conversation we had around the movie Lincoln. And in 1869, just down in Washington, D.C., but actually it grew out of something that happened in Baltimore, Maryland, was the formation on this day in 1869 of the Colored National Labor Union. The Colored National Labor Union was founded by two men really associated with Baltimore, Isaac Myers. There's the Isaac Myers Museum downstairs. He was a Quaker born to two free black parents here in Baltimore and became a huge figure on the docks in the city, became very close to Frederick Douglass. They became close friends, working together in business and around unions and fighting for the rights of black labor after the Civil War, and even during, in Baltimore before the Civil War, in this community of free blacks that existed, the largest in the United States of America at that time. So they took it on themselves to create this Colored National Labor Union. The first president was Isaac Myers. The second president was Frederick Douglass of that union. And it grew out of the National Labor Union, which was formed by white folks who kept black workers out of it. But this union became a union of all workers led by black people, of white workers, black workers, Chinese workers. And though it wasn't long-lived, it had a huge effect in fighting for the rights of workers in this society and in the United States of America in this post-Civil War period. And it came right out of our own world in Baltimore. And then in 1875 on this day, was convened the 44th Congress. And 1875 to 1877, eight, the highest number ever until now, of course, eight African-Americans sitting in the United States Congress. One was United States Senator Blanche K. Bruce from Mississippi, and seven black congressmen, Jeremiah Harrelson from Alabama, Josiah T. Walls from Florida, John R. Lynch from Mississippi, John A. Hyman from North Carolina, Charles Nash from Louisiana, and Joseph Rainey and Robert Smalls, the famous Robert Smalls, who stole the Confederate Navy boats and brought them to the United States, both from South Carolina. They took their seats then. A huge time. This is a very important piece of our history when this happened. You know, and during this period, when you look at the archival documents, you see people like P.B.S. Pinchback, who started out as a riverboat gambler. I said Robert Smalls, who hijacked the Confederate steamer and delivered it to the Union troops. You had Robert Brown Elliott, who bested the former vice president of the Confederacy in a huge debate on the House floor. He was eloquent, creative, brilliant man, and quite effective. They were overwhelmed by the forces of the South and Northern indifference, but they stood their ground, and they were just amazing. This was the people who helped lead this country between the Emancipation Proclamation and bringing Jim Crow back. When they tried to destroy these men and their personal reputation. And one thing I would recommend to you all when thinking about these first black congressmen is to read the book, and we'll try to get that put back on our website. We had an incredible interview a couple of years back with Philip Dre. He wrote the book Capital Men, seeing this epic story of Reconstruction through the lives of the first black congressman that delineates all this stuff. It's well worth the read, and hope we can get that back up on our website for you to listen to. In 1877, on this day, the first edition of the Washington Post was published. And on this day in 1884, the Washington Monument was completed in Washington, D.C. In 1904, Teddy Roosevelt announced what he called his corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, which said the United States could actually go in anywhere they wanted to, overthrow any government, stop anybody from coming in if it affected our needs in the United States of America. He did this on this day in 1904. This day in 1907, there was a coal mine explosion in Monaga, West Virginia, that killed 362 workers and led to the beginning of the fight for the Union in there. This is 1917. Finland declares independence from Russia. And just a bunch of years later, 1941, the United Kingdom and Canada declared war on Finland because they became too close to Nazi Germany and they wanted to support the Soviet Union. And this was the day that in 1921, the Anglo-Irish Treaty was signed in London by the British and Irish representatives. And 1 year to the day after that signing, of the Anglo-Irish Treaty, the Irish Free State comes into existence. Ireland became free in their struggle against Great Britain on this day in 1922. And this is a day in 1928. The government of Colombia, which was an American puppet government in Latin America, they'd already taken Panama from them and created the Panama Canal, sends its military forces in to end the strike of workers against the United Fruit Company, the American-owned company. They killed hundreds and hundreds of Colombian workers in their struggle to have a union recognized in their fight against United Fruit. That was also, thank you, Teddy Roosevelt, even though he wasn't around then. It all stemmed from that moment I talked a little while ago in 1904. This is a day in 1933 that United States federal judge John Woosley said that James Joyce's novel Ulysses was not obscene. How nice of him. And in 1953, Vladimir Nabokov published his hugely controversial novel, Lolita. And in 1956, during the Olympics, there was a water polo match between Hungary and the USSR. And this was around the time that the Hungarians were fighting for their freedom in pitched battles in the streets of cities throughout Hungary. And the Russians just mowed the Hungarians down. And there was a violent confrontation in the water between those two teams. Hungary won that match. This is the also day in 1967 that Adrian Kantrowitz performed the very first heart transplant in the United States of America. And a very sad thing happened on this day in 1969. Hell's Angels stabbed to death Meredith Hunter at the Rolling Stones concert in Altamont, on the Altamont Speedway in California. It became part of a documentary film. And this was a day that in 1982, the Irish National Liberation Army bombed a pub frequented by British soldiers, killing 11 soldiers and 6 civilians. It was an intense time. We covered that in the 90s a lot on our program here, that struggle in Ireland. This is a day in 1969 that there was a massacre in Montreal. Marc Lepine, an anti-feminist crazy man, murdered 14 young women at the École Polytechnique in Montreal in 1991. That led to a very special day being declared on women's rights in Canada and against women, abuse of women in Canada. And there was an interesting juxtaposition of deaths on this day, December the 6th. This is the day that Jefferson Davis died in 1889. Of course, the president of the Confederacy died on this day. Also who died on this day was one of the, you'll be hearing some of the music later in the program, is the great American folk singer and blues singer Lead Belly, who passed away in 1949. And also on this day, in 1961, one of the most important thinkers in the 20th century, who wrote books that changed the nature of our understanding of race and racism in this world, passed away. He wrote books like Black Skin, White Masks, The Wretched of the Earth, A Dying Colonialism, A Tour of the African Revolution. One of the most brilliant thinkers, a psychiatrist, revolutionary, activist from the island of Martinique, who spent his time in France, fought the Nazis in World War II in 1940, became a leader of the liberation movements in North Africa, and one of our just great thinkers, Frantz Fanon, passed away on this day in 1961. That's our day in history, December the 6th.